two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon, 3:30 at KSL News Radio. Jeff Kaplan here. Sunshine, it's 97 degrees, KSL's top story. Six churches in Sandy were vandalized this week, all of them with a similar message against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe joins us live with what we know. Amy?
Jeff, the buildings were all tagged with the same color spray paint and similar messages.
One of the messages said something to the effect of predators are welcome. Another one said something along the lines of save the kids.
Sergeant Greg Moffitt says they aren't sure if it was just one person or a group that did this. They think this happened sometimes Sunday night into Monday, and they're asking people with any cameras facing the churches to look at their footage and see if they caught anything. And if they do catch someone, charges would depend on the cost of the damage and cleanup. Reporting live, Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
Governor Spencer Cox was here in this very room right there for Let Me Speak to the Governor this afternoon. 80% of your questions were about water. Well, first, the good news. The governor says the state's reservoirs are in better shape than last year. The hour-long discussion on KSL with Maria focused on conservation, water rights, and the Great Salt Lake, about which the governor said that fixing the problem is going to cost a lot.
We are buying water rights for the Great Salt Lake, something we've never done before, but we need more money to do that. We're going to be leasing water rights from farmers and ranchers, trying to get more of that water into the stream beds and preserving the Great Salt Lake. That's going to be a really big focus of ours over the next 5 years.
The governor says secondary water metering will get Utahns on the conservation bandwagon, but installing meters is going to take years. Salt Lake City residents, you get to decide whether to spend big money improving city parks. City Council's decided to put an $85 million bond issue on the ballot in November. A third of the money would go to creating a park at the old Raging Waters site. Still undecided, though, is how Salt Lake would pay for the bond issue. One option would be a property tax hike. The big question this afternoon, will we make it to 23?
22 days of 100-degree weather this summer has kept people indoors and dried out everything outdoors. KSL's meteorologist Matt Johnson says it may just get worse.
Now, this is a byproduct of climate change, and what to expect moving further into the future is that we will see these types of heat waves, and they will increase in duration, frequency, and intensity.
The Climate Prediction Center reports that these unusually high temperatures, while not as extreme as the summer, are likely to continue through the fall. Chris Jacobs, KSL News Radio.
The nation's Interior Secretary says new federal money will focus on the drought. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, Secretary Holland is in California for a firsthand look at the severe drought conditions gripping the West. She's also announcing the latest $4 billion investment from the Inflation Reduction Act will provide unprecedented resources in securing the West's water future.
Our shared priority is to support efforts to build resilient communities and protect our water supplies for people and the natural environment for generations to come.
Just yesterday, federal officials announced that Arizona and Nevada will be forced to cut back on water deliveries from the Colorado River due to the intensifying conditions.
North Korea fired off two cruise missiles today. The U.S. says it's monitoring the situation on the Korean Peninsula. And State Department spokesman Ned Price says the U.S. has no immediate plans to ease up on sanctions.
We will continue to maintain those sanctions until and unless the underlying conduct changes in North Korea. Alters its fundamental approach.
South Korea says the launch coincided with their president's news conference marking 100 days in office. 5 months after 14-year-old Tyre Sampson plunged 300 feet to his death on the Orlando Free Fall ride at Icon Park, friends and family gathered outside the park on what would have been his 15th birthday to hold a balloon release in his honor. And they are calling for an update on the investigation into his death. Civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump says the park and its operators need to be held accountable for the horrific accident.
And all of the corporate defendants, all of them, have blood on their hands.
The family's attorneys claim that the lack of safety signs on height and weight requirements, altered seats, and inadequate restraint systems all contributed to Tyre's death. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
In Pennsylvania, the Little League World Series has reportedly made some changes in its housing for players after that Snow Canyon player was hurt earlier this week. KSL News Radio's Allie Litzinger with the update.
St. George News reports the Little League World Series has removed bunk beds and replaced them with single beds. Sunday night, Utah's Easton Oliverson on Snow Canyon fell off a bunk bed and needed head surgery. One of Easton's doctors tells St. George News that Easton is recovering well and better than they had hoped. His breathing tube has now been removed, and he is now breathing on his own well.
That's really good to hear. Easton's favorite player, the L.A. Dodgers' Mookie Betts, gave his support and told Easton to keep fighting. KSL News Time 336, Ricky Meese, emergency traffic. What's the latest?
Well, these are construction delays eastbound I-80 from the SR-36 junction at Lake Point to the 201 junction. If you're trying to get into the Salt Lake County area right now, you need to tack on an extra 20 to 25 minutes minimum to get through those delays. And in Salt Lake County, we're starting to see the typical drive-home slowdown starting to set in on southbound I-15. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Okay. First of all, it's a true story. Bear that in mind. We're going for my minute of news in just 2 minutes. Stay right here.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.